Hello, Darren.
Hi,
there we go. Yeah, we're starting now.
We just decided to start recording.
Yeah, we've lost 15 minutes already.
Just chatting.
We've said a lot
saying lots of interesting things, yeah. And then recording it. This
could be a problem, but I'm sure we'll come back to it and try and remember what
we said. Yeah, we were talking about the new DS and Mega Drive coming out, a Mega Drive game coming out 20 years after the console that died. All sorts of exciting stuff, and now we start recording. We have to go back and explain it all.
That's fine. I'm Alex. Yeah,
I'm Darren. Welcome to Doofus.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm the host or if you're the host anymore. It's all gone a bit convoluted.
You're the host.
I'm the host.
It's all about you.
Well, it's my site. Yes, yeah, certainly. But
I was thinking about this earlier on because you very kindly asked me to be involved in your podcast, which is about video games in Japan, and we're talking currently. A lot about old games, yeah. And I, one, have a terrible memory, and two, don't know very much about games. Just thinking about how I'm not really overqualified to be doing this, but I am very pleased to be here.
Well, that's the best way of doing it, because people who know too much about games, it all gets a bit too, I don't want to say highbrow, because that's not what I mean, it all gets a bit too...
No, it doesn't get highbrow at all, does it? It's not that part of the body, it's more around the bum area.
There's assumed knowledge, and we're not, because you're always here, I can't assume knowledge.
Like an old man at a bus stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I've talked about getting my mum to play Shinobi before, but just like, if you ever get your parents to play video games, or inevitably they'll say, which one am I? I'm verging on that now. I'll give it a couple more years before I just don't know what's going on.
I'll be back.
Put me in front of Mirror's Edge and I'll just have a stroke.
I'll be back before a few more years. You'll be back into it. Even if...
Yeah, I think it is actually turning... With the credit crunch, I heard some people talking about, because of the current financial situation... The CFS, I'll call it that for quickness, that it may bring about a renaissance of video gaming.
Because people just stay in. It's the only industry that's still growing.
Well, even more so because people will just lock themselves in their buildings with massive cans of beans and huge drums of water. Like there's a storm coming.
We don't have beans in Japan.
Yeah, and just have Mirror's Edge sent to you. And then, yeah, you can just sit in your pants, eat beans out of the tin and play video games and just avoid the whole world outside.
Well, can I have some of the Japanese sent to me? Because beans have cost a fortune here.
Do you want me to courier beans to you?
That might cost a lot too.
I'd like to do it only when they ask you what's inside the package, because you have to write that on a little sticker.
Yeah.
And I'd just write beans.
I remember
definitely get stopped
to get around customs last time. I sent a bottle of whiskey to my dad. I just put a bottle on it, which I feel was accurate.
Sure, that's even more dangerous because of its its hollow nature. It could smash.
That's true. Well, actually, this brings in my mum sent my girlfriend a present. For her birthday, and it took 3 months to get here, and the reason was because it was a necklace, but they wrapped it with potpourri. And if you're going to send things across national borders,
potentially drugs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dried flowers with a strong scent, not good to send over international borders. So yeah,
well, we're dealing with the addiction, the drug-like addiction that is old games. And we're talking this podcast about shoot 'em ups.
Yes, we are.
We're going to shoot them up. Which is the stupidest genre name. Which is probably why they don't exist anymore. Shoot 'em up.
There was a movie called it as well, right?
There was a movie called... because I've been researching and that's come up.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is.
It's, who was the guy who was going to be Bond before...
Who was going to be Bond?
Yeah. Not Daniel Craig.
There's so many people.
No, the croupier.
Colin Firth?
No, the croupier guy. The guy who
was... Croupier?
Damn it! The guy who was in...
Bobby
Sin Croupier. City. The middle story in Sin City. Oh, people are going to know this.
Oh, do you mean Clive Owen?
I do mean Clive Owen.
Yes.
He was the star of it. And it's basically he's protecting...
I remember this. It was very video game-esque. And it's... Because it had massive caricatures and all the characters. Wasn't there a lady who was sexually excited by firing guns?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah, no, neither have I. I read about it and threw the paper down and said, I'm not going to see that.
Fair enough.
I want to see a French film or something instead.
I actually want to see it, so. That's just me, though.
I think you'd like it, yeah. But anyway, yeah, shoot them up. Shoot them up. Shoot them up.
Shoot them up. Indeed.
Drive it out. Why are they just shooters? Shooters, maybe.
Because
but we have to be. We have to narrow our field when what we're talking about here, because we talked earlier this morning about the fact we're talking about shoot 'em ups and realised that, I don't know, most genres can have shooting in. So we do need to.
Yes.
To tighten our belt somewhat, don't we?
Very specific. I think we're talking very specifically. You're in a ship. Is the first part I would add
to
this.
Pretty much, yeah, you know, Arto, like games.
Arto, but are we extending this? This is something, you know, I mean, there's Star Fox as well, which is certainly a shoot 'em up.
But yeah, and it's got a spaceship in it.
Are we extending
it to
a 3D kind of realm, or are we sticking very much with 2D on a flat plane, horizontal and vertical?
I think what we're going to do is we're just going to mentally know which ones are allowed and which ones aren't. And perhaps that could be part of the fun. Disregarding some and just saying, no, that's not the shoot 'em up. That's not what we're talking about today.
Okay.
Because I thought Swiv, do you remember Swiv?
That's
definitely in.
That's
in this,
what it was. I've been calling it SWAT all week in my head. I don't know why.
SWAT? SWAT?
I don't know why.
You're getting mixed up with E-SWAT.
I am.
Extra special
well,
weapons
this,
and stuff.
I was actually thinking, it's very close to E-SWAT, I wonder why they did that.
They didn't,
that's why.
You might be thinking of Narc.
No, I'm not thinking of Narc, but yeah,
Narc.
It could be Narc.
Anyone remember Narc, which was like a scrolling beat-em-up but with a gun instead?
It was an E-SWAT.
Which was, yeah, E-SWAT was a scrolling platform with a gun. That doesn't count.
Right, okay.
So we're being quite Nazi about it.
Contra doesn't count as well, which was an important element. We're not talking about shooter platform shooters. We're definitely talking about.
No, we're not talking about Contra.
No. Okay. Okay. Well, we've got a kind of rough outline, and if we get too off on that, before we jump onto the shooters, because that is the point.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
The engine's going on the shooting bus, right. But we're just here still.
You used that metaphor on the driving podcast, and it made sense. This time, the engine goes.
Did I really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You were backing your car into the garage last week.
It's all vehicular.
Mm-hmm. Well, this week, before we start, I will ask you what you've been playing. But also, last week I was slowly getting drunk on vodka. This week I'm slowly getting drunk on red wine, which means this week I'm going to be a bit more feisty.
Yeah, the red wine gets you gobby. Well, it gets me gobby anyway.
It gets me gobby too.
I say things I regret at dinner parties.
Well, last week...
We had a dinner party at my house, drank a lot of red wine, and then started to tell a story in front of about 10 people about how a mutual friend of me and my girlfriend, who must remain nameless, had anal sex with his girlfriend on the first date.
Right.
And I just thought that might be a good icebreaker, but at the time it felt good, but then I remembered the horrified faces before me.
What felt good?
I beg your pardon?
I said, what felt good about the anal sex?
Well, hold on, I didn't have anal sex with anyone.
Okay.
I didn't touch them. But they did.
My being
little
the
do they know
through you there, I'm sorry, Darren.
I think anal sex through me.
Okay. Yeah, so whereas last week I got kind of rambly and told lots of old stories, this week I won't be doing that.
You did turn into a lovable old sailor at the end of it.
Yeah, this time I might be a bit more aggressive.
Still rambling away. It's a bit like that bit in Jaws where they show each other their scars.
I wanted to apologise actually for last week.
What did you do?
Well, last time, 2 weeks ago.
I think we should be apologising about more things than just what we did last week.
That's true.
But no one's listening. Yes, that's right.
But specifically, I've got a tendency recently, whenever anybody sets me kind of a "when did that come out?" or a kind of date question.
Yes. Do you guess at the date?
I know I've consistently said 1994 for the past 3 weeks for any question like that.
Hey, yeah, no, I remember you saying something and it was wrong.
So anything I said last week that was 1994, and it might have been more than one thing. It's just
something in the time you were on.
For some reason, in my head, everything recently has been 1994, and I'm fully aware it's wrong. So if I do it again today, I apologise in advance. For some reason, when I was 14...
Who worked that in?
It seems to be an incredibly influential part of my life at the moment. That's all I can put it down to.
Well, you were 14, that was prime video game age. There was nothing to do but stay in.
Prime video
and
game.
And get driven to each other's houses.
I'm trying to think what it was like. I don't think the system... Whatever I quoted as being 1994 last week, I don't think the system was available then. But who knows? Anybody who can answer that question, I will say...
I do remember that. It'll come to me later, yeah. 1994.
Anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah. Moving on. Have you been playing anything this week, Darren?
Oh, God, I'm really embarrassed to say that. I've just been playing lots of Mario Kart on the DS.
That's brilliant.
I can't help myself. It feels vaguely masturbatory because I'm just... Oh, just gives me so much alone time pleasure.
Don't you play with your girlfriend? You have Link Up and your girlfriend plays games.
Yeah, that's why we like to play Link Up. There's a bit of an issue at the moment in the fact that I keep winning, and it's because I'm playing it so much. So I'm actually making it not fun to play.
Oh, you've become that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, this
yeah, week... I'm Games Master, isn't he?
Ah, he was Patrick Moore, the Games Master.
Yeah, do you remember Curly? Was he called Curly? There was like a vaguely overweight, now we recognise to be quite chavvy, bloke who'd become just famous for being good at video games.
Oh, yes.
A bit like he worked in a chip shop.
Yes.
And he used to wear extra large white t-shirts with cheaply made prints of video games on, and he'd do a thumbs up, and he might be on the front of Mean Machines magazine or something. Wow, I'd like to know what happened to him now.
Yeah. Probably still cooking chips.
Yeah, he probably eats packaged pies and sausage rolls and sits in a big pool of his own filth.
Well, apart from that last bit,
it's probably better than Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Just small doses. But what have you been playing?
Well, I dived back into Burnout because I'd been off that for a long out of time.
I've heard a lot of people are getting back into Burnout. Is there some reason for this? Is there like an upgrade?
There's the bike pack. So you can
that bike pack, this is what I've heard about, and that sounds really fun.
Yeah, except I jumped back in and realised how little of the main game I'd really played. So I've just been playing that. I've used the bikes a little bit, but really I'm just on the cars again.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's just a good racing game a good arcade racer with lots of crashing. And that's all I really want in a racer. I've got a serious simulator here, Forza. And it's just, it's too much for me. I don't care enough about cars. So I want my
I haven't been playing, and it's related to last week's and what you were just talking about, old game picking up again. I found that I'm moving house soon, and I've got a Mega Drive, but I don't have a TV. I just look at it. It's quite sexy. It looks like a big packet of John Player Special cigarettes. and I found that I do actually have Micro Machines 96. The best
Micro Machines. Have you found that?
Yeah. And I sent you a picture, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I thought you bought it. I was amazed.
And I've also got Micro Machines Military, which I found afterwards in my big box of Mega Drive games, which is where you're all... Maybe this counts as a tune-up. Maybe this will take us into the body of the pod. into the pod. Come with me. Micro Machines Military, tanks, helicopters, everything with guns. And the tanks, you can move the turret independently.
I remember, yeah.
It's going to be so good. So it's going to be responsible for me not doing any work for the next 2 months when I move into my new house with my big plasma screen.
Excellent. A plasma screen Mega Drive game.
Beans in. Yes.
Not as good as you think. Plasma screen Mega Drive games.
No, it's not going to work, is it?
They look ugly. They look really ugly.
Do they? Really? Really? Well, how does it make them look ugly?
All it does is
it kind of smooth it all or something?
No, the pixels just get huge to the point to the point that it's not cool anymore.
It's just unmanageable.
Yeah,
it's like getting your eyes too close to the bus timetable, so you can't read the numbers.
Well, that was the other
thing. All right, well, I'll report back on that experience.
Well, the other thing I've been playing this week is Mega Man 9, which is the
now isn't that too hard?
it's ridiculous. Yeah. which is where something in the review I'm going to apologise for that, because I stated something.
You're going to apologise for being hard. Is it your fault?
No, I said in my first ever post, one of the things I said was, I will finish all the games that I review, and ball sack if I'm going to see that. No.
So why, if you're a film reviewer, they just have to sit there for 3 hours at the most.
You can't.
I get the impression you can't finish Mega Man 9. Not you personally, but just human beings.
I believe people can, maybe, but I'm...
Can you give me a percentage how far you got into it?
About a tenth. One tenth.
Okay, well, 10%. You finished it.
What?
You can't be posting any reviews till you finished it.
No, I think I might be.
Is this the virtual console one that looks like an 8-bit?
Yeah, I got the Wii one. And I got Mega Man 2 at the same time.
Okay.
And I realised,
Mega Man 2's better?
Long time podcast mention, James actually owned Mega Man 2, and I didn't realise that it was Mega Man 2 I was playing. I mean, I knew it was a Mega Man, but I didn't realise which one until I downloaded it and realised I'd played some of the levels before.
Can I admit that I've actually played that? There's an online NES game site. You can play them through your browser.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's sometimes incredible.
My computer takes a long time to do things. I play that.
I'm loving.
Sorry, Mark.
I'm really enjoying Mega Man 2, and but Mega
it's
Man
really
9
good. The level design is incredible. Sorry, I'm eating a banana.
I think the long pause was called for.
unwittingly getting a bit carry on. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but yeah, I've been playing Mega Man 9. It's too hard. I'm going to review it, even though I'm not going to complete it.
Mega Man too hard.
And I'm playing Mega Man 2, which is going to be included in the review, because Mega Man 2 is a fantastic game that holds up now. Mega Man 9.
Yes, it is. It's very good.
Fantastic game that's just far too difficult.
Right. So,
yeah. Okay. There should be some kind of musical rift here, but there won't be. And
you could just play Super Tennis.
I did just play Super Tennis. I could do that again.
You could play it now.
It'd take me
Alex has managed to hook up his SNES game to the podcast. He's plugged it into the pod.
Yes.
It's a small jack port in Steve Jobs' ankle. We managed to plug it in there, so we could play some music for you.
That was supposed to give me time to get that all set up, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Damn it.
But just the very fact that you worked it out that I was doing that bodes well for years of podcasting to come.
I'm on it.
We're going to be so tight in a year. I can go to the toilet, no one will notice.
Well, we managed that last week. It was only when I started screaming for you that people worked out. I have to drop out. I have to unplug my mic, and this could be painful for everyone concerned.
I'm still here now.
Oh, he's going. He's actually going to do it. This is not spontaneous, or perhaps very entertaining, but we're just going to go through with it now. Here we go. That was the telling sound for Jack. And I don't know what that was. That was Alex falling down and swallowing his tongue. That was a tennis noise. So, it's coming up soon. Hey! Welcome to Deep Fun, where we discuss shoot 'em up with your notes, Alex Beach, Inglis, and... Here we go. We also get good at fading it out.
I can't hear it. You're the only person that can hear it while I'm doing that, Darren. So
no, it's sounding quite good, I think.
Good.
Yeah, I did a kind of American introduction.
I can hear you talking. I can't hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hope it came through.
At some point I'm going to work out
shoot 'em ups. We're talking about shoot 'em ups.
Yeah, I don't know why you picked Super Tennis. That's going to be my next point.
I don't have to explain it.
No, okay. Shoot 'em ups, Darren.
Yes.
Another one of your loves, because it's an old game. You love old games.
Yeah, I realised that really, really love shoot 'em ups. And also I had a conversation with my better half this morning about this, where I was saying
better half.
For purposes of privacy, she's famous. Okay. She's Giselle. I don't even like Giselle. She I'm is
sure awkward.
She's Anne Widdicombe. I'm going out with her. So Anne, me and Anne were chatting about the podcast today and saying what we're talking about, and I said tune-ups, and she started talking about games that were first-person shooters, and I realised that I needed to point out that we were talking about scrolling shoot-em-ups, which is a dead genre.
It's not a dead genre.
Okay. There was a time.
Sorry,
when
it was a
pinnacle of technology.
There was a golden age. There was a golden age.
1994. So that's what we're going to talk about this week.
Yeah,
is going to talk about those games, and of course, yes, they have come back.
I think that's the interesting thing about them, though, is that unlike driving games, which have evolved, scrolling shooters have very much just become prettier. The basic mechanics stay the same throughout.
Because the mechanic is so limited, and the mechanic is the game. It's a scrolling shoot 'em up, essentially a one plane shoot 'em up, although that varies as well.
You shoot, and maybe there's some way of blocking, but
and you auto scroll.
Yes, auto scroll
until you get to a boss and you stop. And this is quite a limited mechanic, and therefore it's quite beautiful in a way, because you can really do lots of things in this really limited sort of gameplay type, because they're all essentially the same. But it's just really interesting to see all the variations within that. And I was also thinking that they're generally one player experiences, so I'm not sure if we've got many shared memories here.
Maybe not in our day. I mean, certainly a lot more of them. I mean, it's very easy to throw in that second person. So there are a lot of games that do have it as an option, but I think most...
Definitely, we talked about Swiv earlier on. Maybe we should start with Swiv. I wasn't expecting that.
Swiv really played on it in a different way to most games.
Yes, it began with the two-player concept.
And we
talked about planes as well, the two-plane concept, the idea of the depth into the screen in a 2D scroller.
Yeah, that you've got the kind of lower and upper level. But Swiv, specifically, each player had very different roles. I mean, there are two players.
So one was a jeep with a gun.
Yes.
And it was an upward scroller, which is quite unusual as well, arcade style. And then the other one was a helicopter.
Vertical, then.
Vertical scroller. upward scroller. Yes, okay. So one was a helicopter, one was a jeep. So you can kind of make up the rest from there, and waves of enemies coming on the ground and in the sky.
And I'm trying to remember what the bonuses were to being jeep, because I remember there were a lot of things you couldn't hit if you were the helicopter, but if you were the
jeep, that was correct.
You seem more prone. But was there
some bullets flying along the floor?
Yeah, were there any allowances for the helicopter? What could the helicopter... Well, rather, what could the jeep do that was special?
You remember? Can't remember.
Okay, fair enough. <Good enough. laughs> But yeah, that was a great game. I mean, it was...
What does it stand for, anyway? Special weaponry in venal super...
You're right out of letters.
Wow. Super Nintendo? I don't know. I like that. It was on the Amiga and the Atari ST.
I think they put one out on one of the consoles as well.
Oh, yes, no, it made it to Mega Drive.
Yep.
And Super Nintendo.
There you go. I bet it was called Super 3.
My memory is coming in waves.
But I'm sure that game was... I mean, certainly a two-player experience that we shared. Briefly, I don't know, we didn't play...
It was all about the two-player. I mean, it was kind of depressing playing it one player, because you were not only getting... Alex, we need to pause the podcast.
Done. Ooh, there's a resume button. That means that just dropped...
doubled your productivity now.
It's going to come as one recording, that's handy.
Oh, wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
So we're interrupted there by a work phone call. Again, we don't often talk about the time difference anymore, but you're in the evening in Japan and I'm in the daytime in the UK.
Yeah, that's why Darren said it's morning, and I said I'm getting drunk on red wine.
Yeah, Alex isn't an unemployable wretch. Alex doesn't sleep on my floor, although you have done.
I have done.
Yeah, which comes back to the video games. So yeah, we talked about Swift, we talked about the two-player aspect of the shoot 'em up. Never really worked as well as the scrolling beat 'em up. I mean, it was a defining experience playing a scrolling beat 'em up in two-player. It was kind of like a precursor to party gaming in a way, because it just wasn't any good on your own.
Yeah, it was very different kind of experience. Well, I mean, a shooter was... It was all about the challenge of memorising where things were coming from and reflex.
Yeah.
That's where the challenge lay. Whereas a fighter's a bit more visceral, and you get a bit more enjoyment out of sharing that with someone.
Definitely, yeah. And collaborative moves, and just how simple and brainless it is to play. Mm. But yeah, okay, would you like to knock back with one? That's what the Super Tennis theme is for, because we're playing, like, you know, back and forth.
We're doing tennis, okay. So you start with... Okay, Axelay.
I'll hit you. Oh, good one. So yeah. This is a SNES one.
It was a SNES one. One of the launch titles, I think. Certainly going back way, even for the Super Nintendo.
Could use Mode 7, if I remember.
Yeah, that was the thing.
In fact, that was it.
Got incredibly good reviews because it looked pretty.
Yep.
And
lots of mazes that you fly into, and then the maze would sort of twist on its axis, and then you'd navigate yourself into another bit and so forth.
I don't remember that. I remember that it was I remember that it had both vertical and horizontal sections, I believe.
Yep. It was good.
To my mind, groundbreaking that it was two genres in one. A vertical and horizontal.
The genres being that tight. The direction the screen moves. This is how tight the genre is.
Yeah.
And did it have any kind of we mentioned it before, I think R-Type was the first one to introduce truly brilliant weapon systems. What was its gimmick?
The orb. Certainly.
The orb, they all had orbs.
They all had, I don't think R-Type introduced the crazy power-ups, I don't think. But it definitely introduced the orb and the kind of, I mean, Gradius came along later with the options and the kind of extra something that you have with you, a kind of shield or interaction beyond your ship and what it could shoot.
A lot of games would be better with an orb, wouldn't they?
Frogger
with an orb.
A big rolling orb
that destroys everything in its way.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. Yeah, okay. Yes, that is good.
Any serious game with an orb affects you. Just destroys everything.
Most serious games have an orb at some point.
Animal Crossing with an orb. It floats around you. Your little character crying because it doesn't know why it's destroying all of its friends' farms when you come visit.
That would be better, certainly.
Sherlock Holmes on the Mega CD.
Oh, with an orb. With an orb,
yeah. Sort of knocking in people's face.
Kill the judge that decides that you don't have enough evidence, even though you've been to every single option on the phone in the phone book.
Exactly, yeah. Nothing gets done because of the orb. Damn this blasted orb.
It's gone to Istanbul.
Yes, the same footage for every conversation.
Remember how I said that video game podcasts usually get a bit in-jokey?
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Well, I like to think that even if you haven't played it, you'd still understand the humour of Sherlock Holmes on the Mega CD. I don't think that needs any explanation, does it?
No, it was an interactive movie. I think that's all you need to say about it. It was when I was first jumped into
interactive movies. What was that one that was like a horror game, but it was basically, essentially people dressed in bin liners being monsters? Yes, Night Trap. Yeah.
I'm worried about how quickly I knew the answer to that question.
History will not look kindly on that era of CD gaming.
No.
No, it will not.
There were on the P... What was... Philip... What was the Philips one?
Tangent, people, tangent. But yes, let's go down it.
PCI? What was the Philips?
The Philips one.
That had Mario games on it. Mario and Zelda games. Nintendo gave up its
license to Philips.
And the dog just went crazy.
He loves the CD games. Toss it a CD game. Toss it Soul Feast on the Mega CD. You'll love it. Yes, I do remember that. It was like a weird home video grey box. I don't remember, but yes, it did have a weird Mario game on it that wasn't Mario at all. Axelay, you need to do your Axelay.
I started recording again. another quick pause there due to my girlfriend returning. My last shot was Axe Lay, so I'm returning that to you with a nice little lob, Darren.
And I'm running across the court. It's a net lob. I'm just going to do a cheeky little drop shot of hopefully I was thinking about this Thunder Force 4 on the Mega Drive. Have you played Thunder Force 4?
I haven't played Thunder Force 4. What is
now? I have no idea about Thunder Force 1 to 3. As far as I know, they weren't released. But Thunder Force 4 documents a time for me when I used to rent video games, rent Mega Drive games, okay, and SNES games. Okay. Yep. You don't know anything about me, Alex. And you'd have a week or even less to play this game. Thunder Force 4 was the most impossibly hard shooting game I've ever played in my life. And what I did was I simply put it on Infinite Lives and I played it from start to finish. And I was amazed, especially at the end of game boss, at how difficult it was, how many times I was dying, like 10, 20 lives per boss.
Even with Infinite Lives.
Even with Infinite Lives. I kind of had more fun playing it on Infinite Lives. I had a lot of fun playing it on Infinite Lives. And the last boss took, I think it was properly like 15 minutes to kill. And I must have died like 50 times. Wow. But it was amazing. I mean, there were like many bosses per level. It was that kind of like futuristic kind of spaceships crossed with ghoulish, gooey, mutated sort of beasts. And it's not unusual for shooting games to contain these cliches, but it was my favourite one on the MD. But it brings me on to the idea of bosses, and particular end of game bosses. Mm-hmm. And their glowing parts that are their weak points. Do you not think that they would have thought to cover them up? If you had a brain that came out of your, out of your belly button or out of your appendix scar, and you were just lying in a big jungle, looking down a tunnel at things slowly coming towards you, shooting. Do you not think you might cover it up?
I think they progress to this. Sometimes these days you have to shoot off things that do cover them up. Yeah, I mean
they still glow red though, don't they?
They do still.
What an inconvenience if you want to be an evil overlord and you can't move.
What do you think?
Weak point.
What about if he got a couple of extra red lights and put them to either side of him just to distract you?
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be good. What would your glowing, if you were an Indigo boss, what would glow on you?
Definitely my voluminous belly button. I don't know if voluminous.
Is that your weak point?
It's very deep. I reckon if you got in there, you could do some damage.
Yeah,
I think you have to get in there.
My neck. I don't like being touched on my neck.
I think it'd be a very big end of game boss with a kind of fly inside my belly button to get to me. It's very deep. I reckon there's something.
Oh, in a space way.
Yeah.
And blow you up from the inside.
Yeah.
I'd love to blow you up from the inside, Alex. Sorry, but yeah, well, my neck would flash red. but yeah, Thunder Force 4, but you haven't played it, so you possibly can't retort, but we're very much in that 16-bit arcade conversion.
Were there four ships you could pick? Was that the four?
No, wasn't there an R-type where you could pick ships? Or could you pick orbs?
There was, yes. There have been many R-types.
Go on, do R-type. Let's talk about the big boss.
Okay, I'll return to you with R-type.
Go on.
The tadpole, you mean?
Yeah, it was like a H.R. Giger lobster with a tail made of testes.
Famous.
The weird Giger-style small version of it that lives in its stomach and you had to shoot it.
Famous because basically it was the first level, and nobody really got much beyond that.
No, I remember the second level, and was it R-type crap?
No, R-type was a lot of fun at the time.
Yeah, it was good.
It's dated poorly, I would say.
All these games are dated poorly, I think.
They've all been, because they haven't progressed in any way other than graphics and kind of scale.
Yes.
If you pick up a good scrolling shooter now, it feels pretty much the same, but looks a lot prettier.
Yeah, it's the Hollywood effects.
Yeah.
Sort of effect, if you like. There's some of Blockbuster's shoot 'em ups, if they were a film type, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the concept has not changed at all.
Not even.
But it looks better.
It looks better.
The explosion's bigger.
That's why they haven't dated well, because when you go back, you think this looks a bit shoddy, and there's lots of slowdown and modern day.
It's a jerky slowdown, yeah.
Yeah, modern days are exactly the same. They're exactly the same.
They're all the same.
But they look prettier.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that's
exactly.
Yeah.
So, in terms of prettiest, most entertaining, hugely, what's the biggest summer blockbuster I can think of? Maybe, like, in terms of the Star Wars remakes, in terms of hype and hugeness.
Right. And
possibly crap.
And possibly let down.
Yeah, lose that down. What's your most exciting scrolling shooter, you with the new consoles and whatnot?
Oh, we're leaping way off tennis.
Well, I think of it as a back of the court lob. I'm running back. I'm not steady on my feet, but I'm going to return it.
Okay. It's toughie, you see. You've thrown me this kind of... Because you don't buy many. I mean, there are still... I'm in Japan. There's quite a lot released. I'm actually looking for one at the moment called the Milestone Collection on the Wii.
Is this a compilation of old games?
It's a compilation of fairly new games, actually. They sold out. They sold out the store down the road, and although they've got it at the big store, it's a good 2,000 yen more. So I'm going to hold off on that till they get it back in here. And it's a compilation of four games. All of them, I think, most of them were released on GameCube, bar the one, and they all look very pretty, very nice. But certainly the most recent one that I've really played. And that I own and play quite regularly is Ikaruga. So I guess I'll return with Ikaruga if I'm going to be...
Ikaruga. Tell me about Ikaruga.
Ikaruga is a polarity game in many ways. You have a ship and you shoot and you have a special weapon, as is the standard. But the final ability you have is to switch polarity, between black and white. And you absorb the same colour.
Yeah.
And you die if you get hit by the opposing colour.
Mm-hmm.
But because you can switch, it means you can have a screen full of white bullets. And if you switch to white, it's fine.
That's an amazing idea.
It's brilliant. It must be what? Let me think. I was at Game Station when it came out. So that would be 5 years ago.
Okay. Oh, you used to work at Game Station?
Yeah, yeah.
The slightly stinky...
it was a brand new one. It was brand new. It was fine.
How long did it take before it smelled like a teenager's armpit?
4 months.
It was just smelly shops, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's the carpet. They made them, game had the...
Do you rub it with pasties every night or something? They were stinky shops.
No, the people who ate pasties decided to stick spit chewing gum onto the floor. That was the usual way.
Yes, and manhandle the games.
And the best we could do was to pick up the carpet panels and put them behind the counter. And swap them for behind the counter panels.
Mm-hmm. So you had a collection of clean panels that you used to rotate.
No. We had behind the counter looked like we'd been spitting out gum for every day we've been working.
I see.
Could we just swap the panel for a panel that was part of the floor behind the counter because it looked
disgusting places. Did you have a small, slightly disheveled retro bit with really poorly kept old games?
Oh yes.
Torn covers and...
But we did at least seal the Super Nintendo games in plastic again, so they looked new, which was kind of...
Yes, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Ikaruga. Yeah, so I've described Ikaruga. Your turn, sir.
Yes, okay, so I'm going to come back with where I'm safe, where I'm happy, in 16-bit area. And we talked about this before we came on as well, and basically I realised that one of my favourites I can't say, so I had to look up how you pronounce it, and you pronounce the game Gyarus, and we found that you can also, if you're very lucky, get a t-shirt that for the Western market told you how you pronounce this game. Then I just didn't change the name or something, but it was quite ridiculous, you know, standard thing, futuristic spaceship, scrolling shooter, but a mixture of bad guys from not compatible universes, in that one of the bad end of game baddies was just simply a massive death with a scythe and a massive cloak. One of them was a robotic unicorn, and there was lots of kind of orb based power ups. One of them was, I think there was like a kind of Roman god of the sea. It was just kind of, like, it was a bit like just being in a toy department, just because lots of colourful bad guys who had their placings in mythology, bit of technology thrown in, slightly cheap looking. It just hit all the spots, really. I think the thing I enjoy about shoot 'em ups is just the fact that you are so tightly bound by these sort of conventions, the fact that the genre is so tightly mechanical, that it's all about how they look and the world that they create. And I'm going to come out with another one now, which is Jainuke on the Mega Drive. Do you remember that one?
No. Jainuke.
Okay. Jainuke. I don't know how to say this game.
G-Y-N-O-U-G.
Gainug? I don't know how to say these names.
Gainug, maybe.
Gainug?
Okay.
Potato? I say Gainug, you say potato. You were a kind of, I don't know, kind of like a floating Greek, kind of Achilles-style floating hare. Man with some wings in your back, Icarus style as well, with a shield, and not quite sure where the bullets came from out of you, but you could fire, and it was kind of like a industrial cyberpunk Grecian future, and it was the art was done by a famous Japanese conceptual artist who's worked on quite a lot of RPGs since. And still works today. So there was like a huge mutated Frankenstein monster man whose body was a train. I'll leave that pause there. And then another man who seemed to be dying, and his heart was on the outside a long time before Resident Evil, and half of his body was like a steam engine. He didn't have any legs, and he seemed to be in a lot of pain. He wasn't really doing very much. He was floating in the sky in a lot of pain.
Sounds like he's on what are they called? What are the lungs called? Damn it!
Oh, iron lungs.
Iron lung. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That
kind of thing. Enemy on an iron lung. You feel a bit bad for killing him, really, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. He was in a lot of pain. I don't know why I did that. Mm. But yeah, great sort of game atmosphere.
Probably in Guy. I'm not going to do that joke, sorry, carry on.
No, come on, do it, come on.
You're probably just going to have given him some extra morphine, he would have been more happy.
Oh yeah, maybe that's a good idea for a shooter. Some kind of euthanasia based shooter. Can I continue down this, or are you going to stop me?
Do what you like.
Okay, so you've got, so you're in, it's a dystopian future, of course, and you're a maverick doctor, and you're equipped with a needle gun that fires painkillers, pain relief, morphine of different levels. You can shoot the homeless and dangerous by
now
shooting
stopping.
Morphine, because it's what they want.
Now I'm stopping.
Shoot the homeless and dangerous, the scum, take them off the street.
Stop now.
I have such good game ideas, and you're always letting me down.
Okay, so you hit with Gainug?
Gainug, I don't know. Gainug and Gyarus.
Okay, I'm going to hit back with a nice, stable Star Soldier.
Star Soldier, yeah.
Yeah, way back in the 8-bit era, which is still coming out today. And it's famous.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're still really. I mean, I've got one on the PSP here, and they've just released one on the Virtual Console, but that's specifically time trial stuff. Star Soldier turned into more of a sport than it did a game.
Okay.
In the guy, I cannot remember his name, which is bad of me, but there's somebody who can hit a fire button, a B button, whatever button, a ridiculous number of times in 10 seconds. And that's all because of Star Soldier, basically, and that made him a good player because he could just fire more bullets than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah, about that.
But that was a really one of the not one of the first, but certainly one of the more popular earlier 8-bit games that has carried.
It was because the game mechanic was a winner, I think, yeah. With that one. And it, as you say, it's kind of lasted till today. So when the mechanic works, it just works. And it kind of makes me think of Robotron.
Well, it's feeling aesthetic, but Robotron.
Do you remember Robotron? Can we talk about this? This is kind of. Are we going to include these? Because they don't fit into platformers. Because we talked about this earlier on. Don't think it's an action platformer. Definitely a shooter. Kind of in terms of Smash TV,
Llamatron,
Robotron.
To bring it more contemporary,
Geometry Wars, and then Gauntlet.
Yes, that was.
It's a shooting game, even though you're throwing axes.
Well, that's a bit broad. I mean, that was a maze game. That was far more exploration, whereas
you were very much
trapped in a kind of a square, and you had to gun down people throw at you.
Oh my god! I'm a barbarian. I'm trapped in a square.
But those, I think, they've become referred to.
Aston Kutcher movie won't happen.
As two stick shooters, I think would be a better.
Two stick shooters.
Yeah, you have like one. It. Controls the fire where you are aiming, and the other one that controls movement. Whereas it's a little different.
Wow! Can we try next week for a really obscure genre, like a really small one?
Okay. What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, you mentioned two stick shooters, and I'm thinking there are very small genres that are maybe even they don't make those type of games anymore. We can talk about it.
TV movies, not game movies. Interactive movies, that's what I'm going for.
Oh, you mean the life of the Mega CD?
Yeah, Night Trap and Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
And as we've only really played Sherlock Holmes, it's going to be very strange.
But for a fucking long time. But yes, okay, so what I was thinking about Smash TV and Llamatron, which was like an insane dream. Is it like being trapped in a neon art exhibition?
Yes.
Or perhaps suspended above it, even.
Indeed.
Yes.
We're off topic here, Darren. We're doing scrolling shooters.
Again, who is the host? That's why it's not clear.
I hit you with Star Soldier. Have you got a return for me?
Yes, I've got Hellfire on the Mega Drive as well. The Mega Drive had lots of scrolling shooters.
I think you just had a lot of shooters on the Mega Drive. But yeah.
Yeah. Actually, no, fuck Hellfire. Can we go for Star Control?
Oh, okay. Star Control.
Yeah. Okay. This is the best. This is one of my best games. I don't understand. It kind of seems like it's the shooting equivalent of what Street Fighter was to Final Fight, in my opinion. Would you follow me down there? Would you come with me?
Which one is it? Is it this? The Final Fight?
It's Street Fighter 2. It's Street Fighter. It's what, right. Street Fighter 2 was to Final Fight.
And what? So was this is Final
Star
Fight?
Control. Is
what? Yes. What would you be comparing? R-Type is Final Fight, and Star.
What
Control
I'm saying
Fight
is
2.
Star Control is Street Fighter 2 to
gotcha.
The rest of shooting games, yes. Just being like scrolling beat 'em ups.
Yeah.
It narrowed down the mechanic in such a way that the two player games are fantastic. Two player versus shoot 'em up.
Yes.
So it's a top down. Essentially, you're in a big field of a limited size. You have thrust, and when you get to the edges of the field, it overlaps, and you pop out the other side. So you fly off the right, you pop in on the left, and that's
like
it.
Pac-Man.
You have exactly like Pac-Man. So it's a very simple mechanic.
And you have a planet.
And there's there's a randomly placed planet which has gravity. So when you fly past it, you can gain speed, or you can crash into it if you don't judge it very well, and lose energy. Yeah. And there are asteroids floating around as well, which can be used as shielding, or you can bounce off them, that kind of thing. And like Street Fighter 2, you have a pool of around sort of 16-esque ships, which have a special move and normal shot. And therein lies the rest of your life if you choose to retire today. It's just such a good idea, and I mean, maybe you can assist my knowledge, but I don't think I've ever seen anything like it since. It's kind of like a much neglected, brilliant two-player genre. And it was just one game.
I want to call it Revolution X. It's a very similar game out recently. In fact, it's on Xbox 360 out here.
Okay.
I think it's called Revolution X. I'm not. That's the only part of the title I can read. Certainly. So there's
okay.
There's probably some part I'm missing. But you fly around. It's only one screen.
Right.
And you are a person with huge ass guns. And you manoeuvre around each other and shoot at each other, which is similar to Star Control, but I think Star Control did it far better. I mean, it had all of the gravity and the just the skate, the amount of area you had to fly around in meant that there was really an evasive element.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of similar games, because Star Control, was it originally designed as a PC game?
It was, yes, that's correct.
Because console games and arcade games generally have a lot in common, whereby they really want you to continue, have another go, play more. Whereas a PC game,
you want them to earn another virtual coin.
Yes, exactly, another virtual coin, which is what this kind of game, and this the game that I'm talking about, Revolution X, was in fact an arcade game, so they really did want another coin. But PC games had a bit more patience and would let you keep running and come up with other ways of playing around things. So I think that was the real difference with Star Control. It was really, you could play a waiting game if you wanted to. A round could last a long ass time.
Yeah, basically you could be a twat if you wanted and hang around the edge of the arena. And in fact, the great thing about the balance with all of the available craft was that there was a backstory to a lot of the species that flew the craft, and in some situations you were encouraged to be cowardly. There was one that was extremely fast. It was called the Sapathi. It looked a bit like a DNA molecule model, and you had a picture of the alien flying your ship in the corner as well, so that gave extra atmosphere to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was described as a cowardly race, and you've backwards firing missiles, so you're encouraged to fly past the enemy and kind of drop missiles on them.
And it made a farting noise
as well. Yeah, well, there was a subtext of juvenile jokes as well, which is excellent.
Yeah.
And and you had little sort of crap shooting pellets that you could fire. And basically, you're just encouraged to fly past at extremely fast speed. Shoot them a lot, so fast that they couldn't do anything, and then fly off to the other edge of the screen and just basically be a twat about it. But it was encouraged.
It was encouraged, and that was
what was great about it. There was a shit for everyone.
There was there was some, and then you could have like a tour.
What was your favourite, Alex?
It's toughy.
Did you just like the big green Urquin?
The Urquin was good. I don't think that would be my favourite. I like
the Urquin was a huge green ship. Which had a massively powerful gun.
Well, it had massively powerful. I mean, it had full health. Its turning circle was a bit crap. It was
That was true. Yeah, you could really irritate it if you're one of the small, faster ships, which was part of the fun as well. This massive, towering Star Destroyer-style ship, and you're just driving one of those small red children's buggies around it, just shooting it in the bum, going.
But it had the little troops it could send out.
That was it. That was amazing. But I love that.
So it had little people it could send out, but it would deplete its energy because you'd have to send
deplete two of your crew, because two fighters used to fire and it used to make a good sound effect. Can you remember the sound effect?
Not for that one.
You got a booming voice, I think you can do it.
I can do the gun, which was boom boom boom. But I can't remember the ships. I can launch fighters. Fighters.
There you go. So if you're being a twat, you could just do launch fighters until you had two members left. And all of your crew was a scattering flurry of red dots floating around your opposing ship.
That would eventually die.
But then you could just fly them into an asteroid if you were right. Yes. They used to follow you in a set pattern.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this game was good.
Yes. They had done a lot of balancing. And there were some troops that were a bit strange. I mean, I remember the... I can't remember the small green ship that had... could either fly backwards really quickly or had a really powerful antimatter beam.
which were, it was crowded, wasn't it? It used to go as it went backwards.
But it would go back.
It looked like a thumb.
Yes.
And the powerful antimatter beam was very short distance.
Yes.
It wasn't a gun. It was just an area.
But incredibly powerful.
Yeah, so basically you had to use your back, your reverse, to suddenly park yourself in front of them suddenly. And
backwards.
Yeah. If you were good with it, you were good with it. So.
Yeah, and then the Earthlings?
The Earthlings, which was an Enterprise.
With an extra set of warp nacelles.
Yes, and the crew was deliberately looked like the Beatles.
Yes.
It wasn't us imagining it, was it? They looked like the Beatles.
They were the Beatles. with the amazing fire and forget technology of the missiles, you could launch two at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Depleted your fuel. That was right, because you were limited on how much you could fire by your fuel.
Yeah, which regenerated slowly depending on which craft you had. Brilliant, yeah. Balance. Homing torpedoes and then a kind of a homing laser if you're in close range. Very cool thrust.
The homing laser. You remember the homing laser was borrowed from another part of their alliance.
Is that right? Oh, tell me.
According to the backstory, the little blue ship that could teleport, that was a pain in the ass and wasn't affected by gravity, so it could go and park next to a planet.
Oh, the Alule Lila Lule.
That's them, yes.
We knew a lot about this game. I've got the book here, the Alien Starship Specifications. We sat on the edge of your bed, me with acne, you overweight,
yes.
Reading this. And boy, it was good.
Yeah.
But they brought out Star Control 2, which I've since played. If you Google Earthworm Masters.
No, I owned it.
Yeah.
On the ST.
Oh, you had it?
No, on the PC, sorry, not the ST.
On the PC, okay, yeah. Well, you can download it now. There's a project online called the Earthworm Masters, where they've got Star Control 2. You can download it for nothing, and you can play it online.
Amazing.
So... Yeah, you can play each other, and it's perfect. And it's got lots of other ships which I'm not familiar with, even more than Star Control. And it might be the best game ever. And I played it recently, and it is good, unlike Mark Jackson's Moonwalker when I played it and realised it was a bit boring.
That's a bit disappointing. I'm actually, there's, to complete go off on a total tangent, on TV now, there's a man with a, Mickey's watching TV, and there's a man with a wing attached to him, and he just was launched from an aeroplane, and he was in the air for 6 minutes with the jet wing strapped to his back.
I heard about that. That was a mad Daredevil style inventor chap.
Yep. I wouldn't do it.
Okay. You wouldn't do it?
No.
Not even if you were an end game boss.
No, you'd be inside my belly button.
A small ginger man trapped to a flying wing.
At that point you're inside my belly button. I am in charge. Anywho. any other games? Star Control was a biggie. Darren?
I don't know if we can do this. It's off topic, but seems relevant.
Tell me.
I was going to bring up X-Wing and then TIE Fighter on the PC. It's a sim, isn't it?
It
brings us into the Star Fox territory.
Yes, that gets us very...
Maybe I just want to talk about it. I don't actually think it's part of the conversation.